Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I want to read down through verse 6 tonight. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just want to simply minister along a thought, this line of thought here tonight. God finishes what he starts. God finishes what he starts. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your presence that we feel here tonight. Give us strength as we minister the word and help us. Let it find its mark tonight in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Just so good to be here on Wednesday night. And they're talking about all kinds of bad weather and all that, but we're here worshiping God. I thank God for that. Amen. You know, there's a lot of examples, and I won't go into them, of people that started something and did not finish it. One reason, I suppose, is because we lose our enthusiasm and our desire for the particular project, whatever it is. If I were to ask for a show of hands here tonight of those of us who have started something and never got it finished, I suppose all of us would be lifting our hands tonight. I know I've got some projects that I got started and I've got to finish them. And we keep saying to ourselves, you know, I need to get with that and finish that. And then something comes up and we're not able to finish what we've got started. And it just seems to be the way of humankind. Amen. We lose our zeal. We lose our desire for the project, and then that losing of our zeal and our desire can diminish until we get to the point where we say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to lay this aside and forget about this from now on, and I'm not going to finish my work. You know, that's all right with some things, and all things are not that important, but some things are. If you start to build a house, you need to finish it. If you start some things that are very important, you need to finish them. In fact, Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. He says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, that behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Amen. On important things, it's very important that we finish what we start. And for the sake of our name, we need to finish what we start, if at all possible. We don't want to get a name around our friends and everybody that is around us that we're somebody who starts something and does not finish it. Finishing something proves the intent of the individual. It establishes the consistency of the individual, and it relays the heartbeat of the individual. Amen. You can trust somebody who finishes what they start. Amen. You can know the inner quality of somebody who finishes what they start, because they're not the type that jump into something because of the emotion of the moment. And they don't start simply because they're excited about something. Some do, and those are the ones that usually don't finish what they start. For when times get tough, and I want to tell you tonight, times will get tough. Amen. Times will get tough. Emotions are not enough to keep you going, Amen. Excitement isn't enough to keep you going. What is going to keep you going is an understanding of the value of what you're doing. Amen. Value, an understanding of value will keep you on the track so that you can finish what you've started. And looking forward to the finished product, amen, will keep you focused and keep you motivated. Amen. We don't finish what we start, but there is somebody who does finish what he starts, and that's God Almighty. Praise God. Thankful tonight that he finishes what he starts. And when he makes a plan, you can count on him not to be discouraged or to lose his enthusiasm or excitement, but God will always be consistent. And God will always be faithful and trustworthy. You can count on God. You can count on him. And we read about him in Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we won't go into that. But verse 2, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. The Bible says in the beginning. And so this was the beginning of the project. This was the beginning of God's work. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You can read all the way down through the first chapter of Genesis chapter 1. And it gives us all of the days of creation, all of the 6 days that God created everything. And he threw the stars into the sky. He put the sun and the moon in their place. He divided the light from the darkness. He caused the trees to come forth, and the grass and the herbs. And then the crowning glory of God's creation was mankind, when he drew in the dust of the earth and breathed into that dust, and man became a living soul. Amen. And we can read that in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Amen. This was a grand plan that God had. And God did not come just based upon the emotion or the excitement of the moment, but God had an eternal plan in place. God had something already laid out ahead of time. John chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but the Bible says in the beginning, John 1 is a parallel to Genesis 1, where it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, they were created by the Word of God. They were created by the spoken Word of God. When God said, "Let there be light," amen, he gave his permission and light appeared. All of the things that are in the physical universe and the spiritual universe are created by God. And so it was the Word of God. And the Word of God speaks about the plan of God. It wasn't just a casual word that God spoke. I hope y'all are going to be with me here tonight. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I really feel this in my heart. God did not just throw words out into the vastness of nothing and cause something to come into existence because he wanted to do something that was cool. No, God spoke his word because there was a definite plan. God spoke his word because there was a purpose behind the Word of God. There was an eternal plan that God started here. And he showed us in the creation of the physical world that he was a God of integrity and a God of faithfulness. Amen. And he showed us that he is faithful and trustworthy, and that finishing something proves the intent of the individual. Amen. It establishes the consistency of the individual. It relays the heartbeat of the individual. Amen. You can trust someone who finishes what they start. And I'm telling you tonight, you can trust God with your future. Well, praise the Lord. You can trust God with your future because He's already laid it out by the Word of God and given us a plan. Amen. God is not the kind of God that'll start something and then drop you in halfway through the situation. Somewhere down the road, He just lets you go and you're on your own. No, no, no. I'm telling you tonight, my God is a God who finishes what He starts. And so He started a plan on this planet called Earth, and that was a plan of redemption for all people, because God knew that we would sin, and each year after they had built the temple, the tabernacle, the high priest would go into the holiest of holies and stand before the Ark of the Covenant, and God would speak to him, and if everything was done correctly, the sins of the people would be rolled forward 1 year. And so for hundreds of years, the sins of humanity was rolled forward, and every year, each and every year, the lamb was killed and the blood was put upon that mercy seat, and God rolled it forward year after year. I've often thought of all of the time, amen, and all of the different situations that came and went through the Word of God, of this king and that battle and this situation and that situation. I wondered why, I've often wondered, God, why did you take so long? And why did it go so long from the beginning of the establishment of your redemption? Amen. That even started before the tabernacle. The plan of it started before the tabernacle was erected. And I've often wondered about that, but I really feel like that God did that to show us that He is a faithful God. He did that to show us that He is a faithful God, and even if it's hundreds of years, He is going to be in the background somewhere, moving it in the direction that He wants it to go. He will be in the shadows somewhere. Oh, God, help us. There are times in our lives that we try to make our own plans. And we try to work out our own plans. And we feel like we can do it all on our own, but folks, we can't do it on our own. We need the help of the Lord in our lives. We need the help of God in our lives. And if we can understand that before we were born, He knew our name. Amen. Before we were born, He knew who we were. He saw us in our mother's womb, and God wrote out a plan. And if you want to think in the realm of the fantastic, the truth of the matter is, in the very beginning when God began to create, amen, He had my name written down, and He had a plan for my life. That's awesome. That's the awesomeness of our God tonight. That's the awesomeness of His consistency and His faithfulness. Amen. I think that a long time passed, and it probably was just for the reason that God wanted to show us, no matter how long it takes, I finish what I start. Praise God. And His plan was revealed in many places, but Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us, actually 6 and verse 7 shows it to us here. And this is a direct prophecy in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ. And it says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder." This is speaking of Jesus. "And His name shall be called Wonderful." Everybody said Wonderful. "Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. Everything we need is in Jesus Christ. Hundreds and hundreds of years before He was born, this prophecy came forth. But let's read verse 7. "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." And then it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." What that really simply means is God finishes what He starts. God will finish what he starts. And finally, the day came when a virgin conceived and the angels appeared to the shepherds out in the field. We just finished the Christmas season. And they said that he will be born in Bethlehem, and he was born in the stable, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Praise God. And it came to pass, it happened, and he grew, and he began to minister. He began to heal the sick and raise the dead. He began to open blinded eyes. Oh, praise God. He did so many wonderful works, but the more wonderful of the works that he did, the more he was hated. And the Bible said that he was despised and rejected. He lived a life of being despised and rejected and hated by the religious people, hated by those that were in authority because they really wanted that kind of authority. And so they took him and they crucified him and they nailed him to that tree and he hung there on that tree. And he was there for a season of time until finally he gave up the ghost. But before he passed away, before he died on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." What did he mean by that? What he meant by that was that of all of the lambs that were slain and all of the sins that were rolled forward every year for all of those hundreds of years, the plan of redemption had not been fulfilled yet. But now God in his zeal, God in his intentions, God in his heart and in his faithfulness, amen, he said, "I'm going to finish this work. I'm not going to leave mankind to wallow in their sins. I'm not going to leave them hopeless and helpless, but I'm going to come and reach out to them and help them and save them." Praise God. We're here tonight because we serve a God who starts something and then he finishes it. Praise God. We're not the finished work yet, but we're working on that. Amen. God finishes what he starts. And the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, "Be ye therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." This is Paul writing to this young preacher, Timothy. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus," notice this, "before the world began." Amen. Before the world began, there was a purpose of God in the Word of God, in the spoken Word of God. Amen. According to his purpose and according to his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And now it is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. And then Paul goes on and he says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Amen. Praise God. God's a God who finishes what he starts. God is a God who sees it through to the end because of the zeal, because of his intention, because of his heart, because of that which is deep down inside of him. Our God is a faithful God. Our God is a faithful God tonight. Amen. He starts by filling us with the Holy Ghost. He starts by washing our sins away in baptism. Amen. For some of us, a lot of time has come and gone. But I'm here to tell you tonight, he's still here with us. God is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Praise God. In the background, in the shadows, God is moving things in a direction to bless and to help and to make His will to be known and to fulfill His will. Praise God. Church, I want to tell you tonight, God hasn't left us alone. Amen. God is with us. Well, praise God. I'm telling you tonight, there's revival. There's revival in this last hour of time. But more than revival, there's salvation for me. I can make it because God's going to help me all the way to the very end. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's going to help me all the way to the very end. God finishes what He starts. Amen. And we lose our zeal sometimes because of situations and circumstances that arise. We lose the desire and the burningness on the inside of the Word of God. Zechariah talked about it, or I believe it was Zechariah. One of the prophets, he was really having a hard time, and he said, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not going to go forward anymore. There's too many troubles. There's too many problems and situations, and so I'm going to give up. Amen. But a little bit of time passed, and he got his scriptures out, and he began to read the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we have a regular diet of the Word of God, because the Word of God reveals the plan of God. The Word of God reveals the plan of God, not the whole plan at once, but a little bit at a time as we take a step and then another step and then another step. The Word of God leads us. God is behind it in such subtle ways, like He's in the shadows. There's an old song, somewhere, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Somewhere in the shadows you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. I'm telling you tonight that in the shadows of your life, God is there. In the secret places where He resides, He is moving things in a direction. He is doing things that we will never know until we get to heaven, until we step over into eternity. But it is a proof to us tonight that before the world began, there was a plan for everybody that's here tonight. Every person that's in this house tonight, God has made a plan for your life already. Don't throw it away. Don't walk away from it. But fall on your knees and say, God, help me. I don't know how to lead my life. I don't know how to guide my own steps. I don't know what direction to go. I need God. I need the church. I need the Word of God. I need the preaching of the Word of God. Come on, somebody help me here tonight. Amen. We want to quit because we get discouraged. Amen. We want to quit because everything seems to be going against us. But I'm telling you tonight, God will not quit. Amen. God does not get discouraged, but God encourages. God helps. God blesses. When we've gone astray, He's there to bless us. Well, praise the Lord. When we go astray, God is there to help us. He doesn't overlook sin. He never does. Amen. He does not allow us to sin. There will be consequences to our sin. But I'm thankful today that when I've fallen and stepped out of the way, He's always been there, and He's always wanting to help and strengthen and bless. Is that the kind of God you serve tonight? That's the kind of God I serve tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We get weak, but He's invisibly holding us up. And He's not going to let us fail. Praise God. We want to quit, but He's encouraging. The Bible says he sends ministering spirits, angels, to help us along the way. Amen. Because God is not weak. There is much, much in his hand. Praise God. I want to tell somebody tonight the finish line is close. Amen. The end is near. Amen. For the wrapping up of God's plan on this earth. Praise the Lord, because God finishes what he starts. Amen. What we've got to do tonight is make up our minds. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going to make it, because the finish line is almost in sight. Praise God. God sees the finish line, and we need to pray that God will show us the finish line. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13. And one of the elders, this is John seeing the prophecies of the book of Revelation. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? John looked out and he saw a multitude of multitudes of people in white robes. And the white robes represent the righteousness of saints. It represents those who gave their life to God, and those who got a hold of the principle that they could make it with God's help. Listen tonight, you can't make it without God's help. Did you hear that tonight? You can't make it without God's help. You can't be saved without God's help. We've got to have the help of God. We've got to seek God. We've got to try to find God every day, and to find the will of God every day in our lives. Amen. We've got to learn how to love. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to learn how to forgive. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to learn how to take another step when we don't want to take another step. We've got to listen to the coach, if you please. Come on, you can make it. You're almost to the finish line. Come on, give it all you got. Push a little bit harder. Amen. That's how God deals with us. That's how God will help us, if we will open our hearts and our minds and listen to his call. Amen. He saw these people in white robes, and the elder asked him, he said, who are these and whence came they? Where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. That meant he didn't know who they were or where they came from. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. That word tribulation means trouble. They have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They gave their lives to God. Do you know what it means to give your life to God? It means to give your future to God. That's your life. That means giving today to God. And saying, God, what is your will today? God, what is your will this week? God, what is your will this month? What is the will of God for my life? What do you want me to do with my life? You gave me my life. You put me here on this earth. I remember as a child looking up at the stars, I enjoy looking at the stars. To me, that is the handiwork of God, and it gives praise unto God every night. Amen. I looked up at the stars as a little boy many times, and I recognized how small and insignificant I was. And I recognized that this earth is just a little speck in our universe, and I'm just a little speck on the speck. And yet here I am breathing, and here I am thinking, and here I am walking and talking and communicating and making plans for the future of my life. And I was thinking, why am I here? What is the purpose for me at this point in time? Why was I born on the day that I was born? Why did my parents give me the name that they gave me? Why? I had a lot of whys, and nobody could give me the answers until I came to Jesus Christ and I began to look at the Word of God. Then I understood, amen, why and where. Where did they come from? I'll tell you where they came from. They came from the direct contact with the Word of God. They came from the direct plan of God, and that because of that, they were able to go through great trouble. The Bible says they have come out of great tribulation, and they washed their robes, they gave their lives to God, and it says, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They made it, friend, because God finishes what he starts. Amen. Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans, and I'm going to finish with this here tonight, and he says in verse 31, listen to this, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? And he begins to list some things that can come against us. Amen. Who is going to lay a charge to God's people? Who is going to give us all things freely? It's God. And then he says, shall tribulation, there's that word tribulation again, distress. You could take the word dis off of that and just say stress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And he said, we are more than conquerors. Let's stand together tonight. We are more than conquerors. What does that mean, more than a conqueror? Praise God. In this world in which we live, there are those that are named conquerors. If you go to the World Museum, in the Museum of World Treasures in Wichita, they have a bust of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was a conqueror. He would go from country to country and he would conquer those people. And I believe it was him that it was said of him that when he finished conquering the then known world, he sat down and wept because there was nothing more to conquer. He was done. He had no more meaning in his life. He had no more reason to live, no more purpose. For you see tonight, my friend, if you're as successful as you can be, or if you're a failure, it really doesn't matter. I'm telling you, you can be the conqueror of the world, but when it's all said and done, there'll still be an emptiness down on the inside, because the plan of God is not there, because God himself is not there. John said the Word was God, and so when you get the plan of God, God's going to be right there with you, fulfilling the plan. Praise the Lord. But what it means to be more than a conqueror is not to conquer other people. It's not to conquer other people, but it's to conquer myself. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Not by myself. I'm not going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'm not going to read a million books and figure out what to do and how to do it. No, but our failures and all of our shortcomings come from within us. They come from within us. And what we have to do is let God conquer our spirit. We have to let God conquer our will. Our will. And my will means my plan. This is my plan. This is what I want to do. This is the direction that I want to go. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's a fool's way to say, this is my plan. This is my way. In fact, James said, when we say these things, I'm going to go over here tomorrow and do this and do that and do the other. He said, all such speaking is sin. He said, what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, I'm going to go over here. If the Lord will, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Praise God. Because it is the will of God. It is only through the will of God that it will be finished. Because if it's my plan, I'll never get it finished. Oh, I might get close, but even if I get it finished, if I plan to make $1 billion, and on my last dying breath on this earth, they come and say, you've got $1 billion in the bank. When I breathe my last breath, that $1 billion is staying behind. Doesn't matter what I've built. It doesn't matter what I've done. Doesn't matter how many friends I have. It's all going to be left behind. What I need is the will of God. Because when you accomplish things in the will of God, you take them with you into eternity. They go with you. Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on this earth. But he said, lay up treasures in heaven. How can I lay up a treasure in heaven? Get involved in the will of God for your life. You say, well, I don't know the will of God. Get in a Bible study. Praise the Lord. Begin to look at the Word of God and see what it says. And I guarantee you, I've taught Bible studies for years and years and years. And it's amazing to me that when people begin to read this good book, and it is relevant for us today, it talks about every area of your life. When the Word of God is revealed to them, it's like a light comes on. And you can see it in their eyes. Tears will fill their eyes and come down their face. Because now I know what I'm supposed to do in life. Now I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to get busy on it. And I'm going to take it with me when I go to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Amen. Because God is in the background of your life. He's going ahead and he's moving forward to finish the call on your life. Amen. To see it to the end so that he can say, as he did in the original creation, it is very good. The first day he finished, God said, it is good. Second day, he said, it is good. Third day, it is good. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, he said, it is good. And when he finished, he looked at it and said, behold, it is very good. And I've got a feeling tonight that as we go through life, a few years go by, and we step into the will of God, God says, it's good. And then we go a few more years in the will of God and we go over some bumpy roads and rocky roads, but we make it through that test and that trial period. God says, it's good. And then we get up and we go through another period of our life and another season of life and more rocky roads and more growth and more things are demanded of us. And yet we make it because we do it one step at a time. We don't get off the course and God says, it's good. It's good. And then another season and another season and another season until they roll you in a casket and you're laid out before everyone to see. Amen. We'll be weeping and we'll be crying, but God will be saying, it's very good. That's why the Bible says the day of death is better than the day of birth, because it is the fruition of the will of God. It is the completion of what God set out to do. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author. Everybody said author. And finisher of our faith. Our faith, not my faith, but of our faith, of the Word of God. That's what that means. He is the author of this Word of God. But he's not just the author of the Word of God. He is the finisher of the Word of God. And when I get this good book, when I get the will of God in my heart, then it becomes my faith. it becomes mine. It becomes the call of God in my life. My plan now. My purpose now. My calling now. Oh, praise God. Can we just love Him right now? I just feel the call of God in this place tonight. Don't leave here without giving your life to Jesus Christ. Don't turn and go back out into the darkness without giving your whole heart to Him and saying, God, I don't understand the will of God, but You know the will of God. You know the plan for me. It was made up before I was even born. Before the world began, it was written out. It was written out. Brother Fred, it was written out. Before the world began, it was for us. It was ours. Oh, thank You, Jesus. 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 Bless the Lord. 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 I thank You tonight, Jesus. I thank You tonight, Jesus. Amen. 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 His plan was to fill us with His Spirit. His plan was to lift us up out of the dust. His plan was to give us strength so we could serve Him. His plan was to heal us. Well, praise God. His plan was to turn us around and give us an opportunity to repent and go another direction. That's His plan. That's His plan tonight. That's His purpose. That's His reason for it all. And it's all because of you and me. And because of a big, big God with a big, big heart of love. Jesus, I ask You right now, God, lay Your hand upon each and every one of us. Touch us right now with Your presence. Touch us with the Holy Ghost right now, Lord. God, let each and every one of us feel Your presence. Let us feel Your loving arms as You reach out to us with love and compassion and help and strength. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray tonight. Amen. 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 If you need God tonight, just lift your hand and just lift it to God. God, I need You. God, I need You. God, I need You. God, I need You. I need Your direction in my life. I need Your help and Your strength, Lord. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. Just go ahead and talk to Him right now. Just tell Him, Jesus, I need You right now. Jesus, I need Your presence in my life. I need the touch of Your Spirit tonight, God.